This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
It's Packer and Durham. We welcome you back to the Tuesday show as we celebrate the 48th anniversary of Title IX here today in our program. And Heather Light, the athletic director of Pittsburgh, will join us in just a few moments. But Kelly Doten is the head field hockey coach at Boston College, and she is good enough to spend some time with us here as we kind of honor Title IX today and think about the impact that has happened with that federal law enacted 48 years ago. And Kelly, first of all, good morning and thanks for the time. Appreciate you being part of the program.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're a native of Greenfield, Mass, and you've got a great ACC story because you played collegiately at Wake Forest and now have done just a remarkable work as the head coach at Boston College. Today is always a special day. You're honoring not only the accomplishment of females currently on the collegiate level, professionally as well, but certainly I've got to believe today is a day where you remember also the powerful women that kind of set the course. Wouldn't you think so?
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, growing up in Western Mass, we, you know, played a couple sports with a lot of great female head coaches. And I had the opportunity to go down to Wake Forest and play for, you know, Jen Averill, who's a legend in my mind, one of the best field hockey coaches ever. And, you know, I'm fortunate to be in this position here at Boston College. And I like to consider myself the youngest of the group. And I got some great mentors ahead of me, starting with, you know, obviously the legendary Karen Chellin at UNC. So, you know, Justine Sowery coached me and Pam Buston on the Olympic team. So those guys I've always looked up to. And then, of course, you got Michelle Madison and Ange Bradley. You know, just great female leaders in their respective roles, but not just with the sport, just for female rights in general. And I couldn't ask for a better group of mentors.
Well, it's also made a formidable competitive league in the process, hasn't it?
Oh, of course, it's cutthroat. We always say, I mean, you know, I got, like I said, I got to play in it. So, you know, obviously got to face Coach Shelton many times. And, you know, I always joke with her. I said, why didn't you recruit me to UNC? So I was just this small town kid in Western Mass. And, you know, I have a great relationship for them. You know, I get a lot of feedback. Certainly Jen is number one on my list when I need some guidance or help. So, you know, a lot of great female coaches surrounding me, not just in, you know, field hockey, that sport, but in other sports I reach out to. And, you know, just a lot of great, great women that have come before me. And I'm just going to try and carry that legacy on.
I want to ask you about the 2019 season in particular, because it was a move that your program made. Obviously, the Final Four, ACC Championship match, all those type things. Those are things that measure the success. What were the pillars? What were the foundations that you put in place to get to the 2019 season?
Yeah, I think it started back in 2015. You know, we started building a cultural piece that surrounded my beliefs as a person and belief as an athlete. And, you know, I think the two things I can never teach an athlete is competitiveness and hard work. And, you know, I try to keep telling myself I'm a very impatient person, very impatient coach. I want things now. But, you know, the lessons I learned along the way kind of led us to the 2019 season. And we had a couple speed bumps early on. We were set 4-5. And, you know, we had to make a change. And, you know, goalkeeping, I think in any sport that has goalkeeping, when you have two great goalkeepers in Sarah Dwyer and Jonna Kennedy who could go in the net at any time, you got to make a decision. And, you know, Jonna wasn't playing terrible. It's just, you know, we're sitting at 4-5. I had to make the choice. And it was tough. It was, you know, a hard night's sleep the night before. And we went to our walkthrough at UVA and I made the decision. It was just a gut feeling. And I think, you know, if it went wrong, I wouldn't have been mad. You know, I always tell people, go with your gut. If you're wrong, at least she tried something. And Sarah played outstanding. The defense in front of her played outstanding. She got a shutout. And that pretty much started the run for the 2019 season. We never looked back. I think the last three losses that we had were against, you know, UNC, who, you know, clear cut, you know, Aaron Mattson, the best field hockey player in the country, led that team. And, you know, we just fell short. And, you know, it's all about building. I don't want this to just be a one and done. And, you know, it starts with culture with me. And that's that's my firm belief. Foundation will lead you to success, and of course, the speed bumps will come. But you know, we're looking forward to 2020.
Kelly, we have had Coach Shelton on with us a couple different times. We've talked about the success of field hockey across the board in this league. You've played at the highest level around the world in field hockey. How good is this league? I mean, when we think of, you know, the very best field hockey in the United States, should we think of the ACC as right there with it?
100%. You know, we have junior national team members, not just from, you know, our, you know, in the U.S., but overseas as well. You know, Dutch junior national is the best field hockey country in the world, and German junior national team members. And it's just, I think, top to bottom, you know, one through seven, we could be ranked in top 10, you know, in the country. And this is, it's not just, you know, the past 10 years, it's been the past 20 years. So, you know, I don't want to date myself when I graduated college, but even back then, yeah, some teams have left. Maryland left. I love that rivalry. But, you know, we added Louisville. We added Syracuse. And it's just every ACC game, you know, people ask who your rivals. And our kids will always say any ACC game they get up for. So we got some fantastic players in this conference. And, you know, we look forward to, you know, just it goes back to the coaches. Look at the coaches at every institution. They're just great coaches. And they bring the best field hockey players both domestically and internationally. So it's tough. But we wouldn't want it any other way.
How much of a benefit is there to have played collegiately in this league and now coaching in it, understanding kind of the highs and lows, if you will, of the ACC in field hockey?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, you know, playing at Wake Forest, you know, when Jen was building her program, you know, she started that from the ground up. And I know the year before I got there, they had just missed out on going to their first Final Four. And, you know, I always enjoy telling the story of winning the first women's national championship at Wake Forest. That meant a lot. You know, the legendary golf coach Diane Daly came out. She, again, one of the other women mentors in my life, came out with a picture of the golf team. And that was the last national championship that Wake had won. And she said, "You guys be the first women's team to go out and do it." And that's motivation. And I'll never forget that. You know, she came out to the practice right before we were heading out to I think it was Louisville. And, you know, those are moments that I remember. But playing in it, you certainly understand the rivalries. And you know, I get to tell my players about the stories that I had, and they're experiencing it themselves, which is great.
All right, you've got degrees from Wake Forest and from Boston College. So yeah. My partner here would want to know, what was the toughest class at Wake and what was the toughest class at BC?
I was never great at calculus. It was not for me. I went into, Wake thinking that I was going to be a business major. And, you know, I think I took an accounting class, and then I realized I'm not going to be a business major. This isn't for me. So, a little bit different, you know, cause I was a good, you know, 10 years, in between, you know, graduating with my undergrad and getting my master's degree. But, you know, here at BC, I, certainly some great relationship with professors that I still talk to this day. And, I learned a lot about, leadership, a lot about listening, a lot about hearing, a lot about growing. So I think it was just kind of different phases, but, I would definitely say Wake was a little bit tougher. No offense, BC.
Hey, Kelly, we wish you all the success in the world and appreciate you being a part of our Title IX special. It's been great to watch BC hockey develop in the last couple of years. And, I hope that you're able to get 2020 off on the right note here. I'm sure this has been a different time for you and all the coaches, but especially in a sport that that kind of gets individualistic in the summertime, right? So now you got to get everybody back and kind of find your groove again, I think, from where you left off, right?
Yeah, I think majority of us are still in the same boat. I saw the date on our last meeting upstairs in our conference room, and it was March 12th, and it's very surreal to think that the last time I saw our players was in March, and the next time I'll see them is hopefully August. You know, that's the plan right now. But, you know, when the pandemic hit, you know, it was all about the student-athlete welfare. I didn't tell them to pick up a stick. I didn't even tell them to run or lift. You know, the gyms were closed. So all of our team meetings were based around, how you doing? Because they lost that social interaction that we thrive on here in college campuses across the country. So, You know, I it was tough. I think, you know, elementary school all the way through college, they had a tough time doing the online classes, being home, having a new routine. I felt bad for them. I did. I had a lot of empathy and sympathy for them. But for some reason, you know, I think they're going to be even more eager and hungry to get back to campus and start this 2020 season. And, you know, we're certainly hoping that we start on time and we play all of our games in the conference championship and the national championship. But, you know, there's a lot of questions still unanswered. And, you know, each day we move forward. You know, up here in Massachusetts, the coronavirus, the numbers have gone down drastically. You know, we're slowly starting to open up and, you know, you guys see what's going on down in the South. You're there. My brother lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he's been going out to eat, in restaurants for 6 to 7 weeks. And I thought that was crazy, but you know, there's just a lot of, you know, different parts of the country are going through this, at different rates, different times. So, we're certainly trying to do our part here in Massachusetts and hopefully even get our kids back safely. And for all sports, not just field hockey.
That is well said. Thank you so much again for your time today. We wish you all the success going forward and really look forward to following your program and the rest of ACC field hockey coming up in the fall.
Thank you guys so much. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
All right. That's Kelly Oden, who played collegiately at Wake Forest and now has done just a remarkable job for Pat Kraft, the new athletics director at Boston College, and Martin Jarman prior to with field hockey at Boston College. And we welcome my partner back from the basement in Charlotte. Good to see you. How are you?
You know, I just need to let it go, Wes. I just need to let it go.
Well, I just want you to know that during my interview with Kelly Doten, I had a special co-host.
You probably got as much out of Clifford as you did me in that interview. By the way, I will say one thing. I'll say one thing for Kelly.
What's that?
She said, quote, I was never great at calculus. I think that is signed by everybody on the planet Earth. There's very few people that will raise their hand and go, oh, yeah, calculus. I had that in my back pocket. That was a piece of cake.
Yeah, calculus. I could honestly tell you that I did not attempt calculus. I struggled to get through finite math.
That does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Packard, Durham, and Clifford there during the Kelly Doten interview. I just want that on the record. For those that don't think Clifford gets enough airtime, he was helping.
I will say, since we've come back live here in the last 3 weeks, Clifford's had much more airtime than Chester and Fuller.
Yeah.
Not even close.
He has. He's, you know, it's a SAG card thing. You know how it is, Pack, once you negotiate those contracts.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Before we went to break, Clifford D. Cat gave us a trivia question. Wes, do you have that answer?
Yes, the answer, who won the first softball national championship in ACC history, and it was just a couple of years ago. In fact, if you were watching ACC Network before our show started today, you saw Lonnie Alameda in Florida State capture the national championship. Florida State has been a dominant softball program in this conference. They have won the first national title in 2018, but they have won 6 straight ACC titles, 17 overall, and 12 more than any other program in conference history. So congratulations, Florida State is our answer from a couple of years ago in 2018. And, yes, I guess Clifford did ask the question in his own imitable way. So thank you.
We are going to take some calls, too, before we get to our next topic. Again, we've been talking about let it go today. There's always one game for every fan base that you just say, man, I love it. I can't even watch it when that game comes back on. It just brings back nightmares. But today is let it go day, national let it go day. So we figure we'd do that in ACC style. So let's go to New York where Jamie is up next. Jamie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for coming back on the air. I sure have missed you guys for the last couple of months. I tell you that. I have two things. Well, not two things. First, calculus is rough. Tell you that. And secondly, we sure need more Clifford D. Cat. That guy, that little fellow is all right. I'll take you all the way back to 2019, the 6th overtime game against the University of North Carolina Tar Heels and Virginia Tech. Oh, man. I've tried to rewatch that game before a couple times, and I just can't get all the way through it, man. It's just a rough one to watch. I mean, somehow you got to find out a way to win that game, you know?
Well, North Carolina had a bunch of those, Jamie, as you well know, being a North Carolina fan, I assume. Mac was in literally every single game. It came down to literally the last possession. You go back to that Clemson game, and as the season went on. But the crazy game in Blacksburg, though, that one, that was one of those, it almost became Keystone Cops with the kicking game and all that stuff through those multiple overtimes. And I have news for you. North Carolina, Virginia Tech in 2020, assuming we have a regular season, it already feels like a big deal, right? With all the hype with both those programs going into the season, as competitive as those games have been, it just kind of already feels like that game at Keenan this year will be a monster.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you had to circle a game in the Coastal Division this year, that would be the one, don't you think?
Seems that way. It already feels that way, that they are on a collision course, and no disrespect to Pitt in Miami, who I think are going to be really good too. And Virginia, of course, the defender in the Coastal. Again, all these games are going to be fun, but North Carolina and Virginia Tech are going to get a lot of national love heading into the season as preseason top 25 teams.
All right, part of National Let It Go Day. Boy, this is like, I mean, root canal stuff here. How about a list of the best ACC teams not to win it all? Seriously? Okay, here we go. This is the one, I mean, you could put this at the top of just about any of these lists. 1984 Carolina basketball. All right, I mean, Omni in Atlanta, Sweet 16, Matt Daugherty, Brad Daugherty, Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins. I mean, what else you want to know? 28-3, went undefeated in the ACC that year. Lost it. Their second loss of the year was in the semifinals to the Billustrator in Duke in Greensboro, and then they lost to the Sweet 16 to Indiana, who then lost in the finals of the regional at the Omni 2 days later to Virginia. That sent Virginia and Olden Polynice to the Final Four out in Seattle, Pack. So 84 Carolina would be one of the best teams not to win it all, right?
That has to be on the list. I would think of the 1999 Duke basketball team that Case had so many incredible clubs. They lost the national championship game to UConn that particular year, but that was a special team. And when you start going through the roster on that squad and how they had just destroyed people left and right, for that team not to cut down the nets, that was one I'm sure Coach K would probably look back and say, you know what, I'd like to have that one over again.
Yeah, no question. They fell in St. Pete at Tropicana Field to Ricky Moore and UConn in a ball game that I know frustrated Duke fans, because that was Elton Brand, William Avery, Trajan Langdon, Chris Carrowell, who's on the current Duke staff. I mean, that was a phenomenal team. You see, they went 37-2, just an incredible run that year. But when you talk about teams that didn't win at all and never really had a chance to win it all, because it was back when just one team went to the tournament in basketball, 1974 Maryland Pack might be the best and the biggest example of them all, to be honest.
Different era, different time, but those two, Tom McMillan, Lynn Elmore, there's Jerry Lucas. I'm sitting here watching, you know, it's funny, I'm sitting here watching the videotape of it, and the original tape is sitting right here behind me, and it's got my mind off on a different track. Mo Howard doing his thing. It was just a different era. And for folks that were still alive, and remember this game, I'm not sure there's ever been an ACC game like it, given what was at stake, the talent on the court, and of course NC State goes on to win the national championship, but man, maybe the best game that's ever been played in ACC basketball history.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm gonna tell you what. I'm gonna change sports here for you for a second. I'm gonna go to baseball, and I'm gonna go to the 1994 College World Series where Georgia Tech lost to Oklahoma with Jason Veritek, Nomar Garciaparra, Brad Rigby. I mean, it was unbelievable. Jay Payton on that team, all major leaguers. They had a double elimination bracket And now they play, what, two out of three, as you know, Pac, in the championship round at the College World Series in Omaha. Back then, one game, winner take all.
Wes,
and Oklahoma had lost once in the double elimination.
Wes, I think of ACC baseball. I know we're coming up on the five-year anniversary of Virginia winning the national championship in 2015, which snapped a long streak for ACC. We talk about the amount of quality baseball teams that have been in this league. Wake Forest won it back in 1955. Virginia wins it in 2015. But in between, when you start thinking about the incredible teams of Florida State and North Carolina and Georgia Tech and Clemson, who made it to Omaha multiple times, who had loaded teams and just didn't quite get it done. I mean, Coach Fox had back-to-back years in, what, 2007 and 8, something like that, those years. It's so close. I mean, the ACC has had unbelievable baseball, but for whatever reason, you get to Omaha and it's almost like kryptonite, other than, of course, Wake Forest and Virginia, as I mentioned, back in 2015. We could do an entire show on ACC baseball teams and how great they were with those players, and for whatever reason, didn't quite get the job done in Omaha. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. You could also add some golf in here, too. There was a Georgia Tech team in the late 90s that lost in sudden death to Oklahoma State down at Auburn.
Let me tell you about the golf team. Hold on. This one. This right here. This is the golf team, Wes. This is the 1982 Clemson golf team. First time ever the Tigers win the ACC championship. Dillard Pruitt, Julian Taylor, Norman Chapman, Jim McPhee, Tony Nimmer, right there, ACC champs. And guess what? While these guys are rocking and rolling, the head coach was Bobby Robinson, who eventually went on to become the athletic director, opened the door for Larry Penley to make the transition. Of course, Larry's going to have a Hall of Fame traditional 40-year career, which has been rocking and rolling. While all that was taking place and the Tigers were winning the championship, Mark Packer and the rest of them were throwing the party and getting it ready at Bobby Robinson's house. So right there is the team, man. The 1982 Clemson golf team. First time ever the Tigers win the ACC championship. How about that?
What happened when you got to the NCAA?
I didn't quite work out so well. I think it was the party that knocked us off, because the party was so good. We weren't quite focused to win the national championship. But eventually, Larry Penley took care of business doing that for my beloved Tigers.
By the way, there have been some let it goes on the ladies' side as well. We saw Carolina, Stanford this year, go to the shootout in the Women's College Cup, right? That happened before 1988. Carolina went 25-1-0 and lost 1-0 to Florida in the national championship. We told you about the 2019. Carolina was 24-2-1 this year. Wake Forest lost a playoff to Duke a couple of years ago. Jennifer Kupcho and her teammates on the 20th hole. They had to go to sudden death for that. I mean, it happens across the board, every school in all sports. A team that looked like it was wired to win the whole deal.
Yeah, nobody's immune to this one. This is one of those topics that, I don't care who you root for, what your favorite team is. There is one moment where you say, you know what? We're the best there is, man. Well, there's no way we're not going to win the national championship. And for whatever reason, there's a hiccup. And that's why, hey, it's sports. It's why we love it.
It's like you say, if, biggest word in sports.
Biggest word in sports is if, I-F. Simple as that.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Kelly Doten, BC, field hockey coach. Appreciate her being on earlier this hour. Dana Evans joined us in hour number one. But right now we're joined by the director of athletics at Pittsburgh. Heather Leich joins us. Heather, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Great. How are you guys?
We are good. It's good seeing your smiling face again. I know that you're excited just to see student athletes back on campus again. I had a nice exchange with your football coach the other day, and he's obviously high energy, but just the vibe of the student athletes being back on campus, I know is a feel good.
It is. As much as we love our jobs and all the work that we're doing, part of it at one point was like, wow, we're missing what it's all about, which is the relationships with the student athletes and the kids. And as much as our coaches are working, again, they miss the student athletes interaction and those relationships as well. So we're thrilled to have the first set of group, our football team here back on campus, obviously coming in phases. We're really excited to welcome everybody back.
Heather, we're going to get to the impact that this day has on women's athletics, certainly, but I'll ask you about the same topics we kind of talked to your colleagues about, and that is the incredible teamwork that has gone on in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and to a degree nationally, I think, as well, as it relates to getting sports back and all the things that are happening. You happen to sit at a spot in Pittsburgh where UPMC is really kind of one of the leaders in the world of trying to get their arms around the coronavirus and a vaccine and all the research and development there. So you're in a most unique position because not only are you working to get us back to normal, you also are tied to some of those folks that are on the cutting edge from a medical perspective too.
Right. Well, there's no question. Our conference has been extraordinary. The commissioner's done a great job with regards to really, you know, as much as we are more distant from one another, frankly, we're closer than we've ever been in the sense of communication and really knowing that we're all going through this together. And there's no manual. There's no, this is what you do when you have a pandemic. And hopefully we don't have to repeat this ever. But I think the fact that we're able to share and be really transparent with one another and talk through, what are the protocols you're putting in place? What are the guidelines? How's your campus, at the beginning, is everybody shutting down safely? And then now our question is, how do we stand back up and do it in the, most safest way and put all of our brains together and try to come up with the best plans? So we're really fortunate. I have great colleagues in the conference and, very trusted friends and colleagues so that we rely on. And then from a research standpoint, there's no question. We're really fortunate to be here. You see the hospital in the background. UPMC researchers and our Center for Vaccine Research is very hard at work hopefully we are the place that discovered the polio vaccine. So, we've got our fingers crossed that, I know they're working hard to really try to come up with the solution and studying that as much as possible. And I know the country is doing that. But we do have the live vaccine here in our research facility, which is a very unique thing to have to be able to study. And, obviously Coach Capel and Coach Narduzzi, Coach White and I contributed to the Center for Vaccine Research to help to support that effort. And that meant a lot to all of us and hopefully to try to, make a difference and find this vaccine so we could all get back to what we call a new normal, but a better new normal than what we're facing right now.
Heather, you're the first woman to hold the full-time AD job at Pitt. Here we are celebrating the 48-year anniversary of Title IX. How do you put into words the impact of that law of 1972 as you now look through the landscape of college athletics, not only on the court or on the field, but also from an administrative standpoint, broadcasting perspective? I mean, you name it, the impact has been felt across the board.
It has. And, I would say that you rely on others, too, to support women. It's not just women supporting women. I've been really fortunate to work for three extraordinary athletic directors in my career who really gave me opportunities to grow, the late Bob Goine and Andy Geiger and currently Gene Smith at Ohio State. And, I would just say that but for their not only inspiration and role models that they serve, but the opportunities that they presented me in my career, gave me the platform to to do what I do, and you know, gave me the experience and the knowledge, and obviously they've been longtime mentors and guiders for me. But yeah, no, we've made strides. There's always room to make improvement. But it's inspiring, because I think when I am around young student athletes and females today, you know, they can now see an example of what you could be and how you can use your passion and love for the sports, and then, you know, your knowledge and intellect and hopefully experience to, create an extraordinary experience for student athlete experience for our kids. You know, I was a product of college athletics, so, you know, I wanted to, you know, try to give back in that way.
Well, clearly you've accomplished that. The other thing, too, is, and I'm having a hard decision on which way I want to go with this, because one of the secrets to the success of your administration so far at Pittsburgh has been you've made great coaching hires. I mean, everybody that you have brought in there has had a significant impact in either rebranding a sport, redeveloping a sport, regaining the momentum. And when I talk about rebranding, you've also done that in another way too, which we'll touch on, but your coaching success. I mean, what's the secret here? Is there a common ground between all these hires, Heather?
You know, we share a lot of secrets in the ACC, but I'm not going to give you that secret. It is a competitive world. I will tell you, it's, you know, as an athletic director, there's a whole lot of things that you try to be really good at. One of the things that I feel that I'm really, frankly, pretty good at is hiring head coaches. And because of the experience I got at Ohio State, I spent 15 years there. I watched the hires. I was a part of a lot of them. You know, it's really about your values and what you, you know, what you value. And we have, as an athletic director, I have an indirect impact on our student athletes' experience. Yes, you lead this department, but these individuals, Coach Capel, Coach White, Coach Hermanic, Coach Bell, all these, Coach Gavin, these coaches have a direct impact on our student athletes' experience. And I love coaches who have coached or played at the highest level. And they are in it for the right reasons. And when you talk to these coaches that we've hired, obviously you're seeing Coach Capel. He is absolutely in it for the right reasons. And I am partial to people who grew up and their parents were coaches, you know. And in these two particular cases, Coach Capel and Coach Narduzzi, both of their dads were coaches. And they coached at a time when, you know, it was not about money and all the exposure and all those sort of networks and all those sorts of things. They coached it because they loved the relationships with the student athletes. And when you're a son or daughter growing up in that family, watching that, and that inspires you, that's pretty real for them. That's why they coach. It's about those relationships, and that's what it means to them. So are they coaching for the right reason, number one, and why do they want to be at Pitt? They come and want to make an impact and build a program and do something that people maybe don't think can happen, and have a lot of internal fortitude and confidence. You know, they've got to have, you know, courage and confidence to come and build something and be a part of something special. So I love our coaches. You know, every one of them is building this the right way. And I am excited about the upcoming future for Pitt.
Heather, we could spend hours on this next question, but we can't. So if you can tell me in a couple minutes, where are we going to go with name, image, and likeness? I know that's a broad question, but it's another one of those, hey, TikTok, TikTok, we got to get moving on this thing one way or the other. But what about name, image, and likeness?
Right. Well, it's not going away. As you know, I think many of us who work in this world are pretty concerned. You know we have to evolve the profession and things have to change. We're feeling a little, you know, obviously the states and have legislation out there that is proposed. So there's some pressure to make a change and make some impact. All of us are most concerned. I think my biggest concern is really about the recruiting aspect of it, the booster involvement, and the shift in focus away from, you know, the world of what we know as college sports, as far as when you come to Pitt, you're coming for an extraordinary world-class education and an opportunity to compete at the highest level, go compete for ACC and national championships, and obviously develop them as proud leaders and alumni of Pitt. But that core message, you know, if it gets diluted by how many social media followers you can have and how you can capitalize on that and what this autograph session can pay you, it's just a pretty big shift. We know we need to shift at some point, but I think we've got to be really careful about the guardrails we put in place to try to manage and monitor the NIL issue.
That's a really good answer. I'll try and make this a little more simplistic. So what's the new fun apparel or logo branded item that Packer is going to want when the fall schedule starts? Because he's done a really good job of not begging for anything during the process of this interview. Like, oh my goodness, there we go.
Now, here's my favorite. Okay, Packer and Durham, you can have a show where can you guys put this together throughout the show, right? It's a Lego set, right?
Heather, let me say something. Heather, hold on a second. Before you say another thing, when you ship that in the box, it better look just like that when I pull it out. Because if not, it is not happening. I am the worst in the world. You ask my wife, she will say, oh, my God, if you give Mark Packer a screwdriver, he'll hurt himself. So, no, that Lego set better come totally intact in the box if you ship it down here to the basement.
A lot of bubble wrap. All right, if I ship it, you're going to put it up.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Okay. No piece is out of place. I got you.
And by the way, one more thing for me. If you look to your right, that is what you deserve, given the job that you've done here at Pitt. Now, we're going to have to give the full shot because folks won't understand what my question is. To your right, up on the side, is what you deserve. You're right.
You need a raise.
Yeah. That's my word. Raise awareness, raise money, raise my kids, and raise the expectations here at Pitt. That's what we're doing.
You've done a great job. We always love having you on.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm honored to be here and wish everyone well, and hopefully we'll see you all soon.
Yeah, we look forward to it. By the way, please, if you send that Lego thing down here, please shrink wrap that. I do not need him trying to figure that out. Oh, my gosh. Holy smokes.
I'll save you from
Heather Leich is the direct. You're the best. Thank you so much. Take care. Heather Leich, the director of athletics at Pittsburgh. Great to always visit with you on Packer and Durham, and we appreciate the time.
Packer and Durham.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Clifford D. Catt already getting some airtime today. Great guest, as always. Oh, yeah. I mean, the ACC's got something. It doesn't matter if it's student athletes, coaches, athletic directors. I mean, we are really blessed, Wes. And I think as ACC fans, you want your team to win. I get all that stuff. But, man, the quality of the people in place in this league, first class.
I think at some point, you and I, and we're going to have maybe some time at, we get to July, maybe before the ACC kickoff and our programming around that. And I don't know how we go about doing this, but the value of the teamwork that's going on here, Mark, is substantial. I mean, you talk about a critical time for college athletics, and you look at all these leagues, and you and I know you talked to Greg Sankey of the SEC on your radio show last week. We've had John Swofford several times. I think those commissioners and Jack Swarbrick and the ADs of the respective leagues, it's going to end up being a huge, huge multiplier to the success and the return of college athletics, don't you think?
100%. And you mentioned Greg Sankey, who's done obviously a brilliant job at the SEC as well. And I even asked him that question, talking about the teamwork amongst leagues that obviously want to compete and win. But this is a situation that everybody's on board for the same process, and that is, how do you get through this pandemic and kind of get college football kickstarted where we're going to be on time, hopefully, and have a 12-game season? And it's going to be difficult. I mean, nobody's telling you this is going to be easy. And, again, states are operating at a different level. You've seen results of the COVID-19 test. Schools are at a different place in terms of, some schools have 30 guys and so forth. I saw where Boise State this morning has basically shut down operations as well. So this is going to be a high-wire act between now and the start of the football season. But there is no doubt that the smartest people in college athletics, the ones that are running these leagues, these athletic directors, they are having great conversation and dialogue, and they all have to work together. And I think you're seeing that right now behind the scenes, even though we're still 2.5 months away from kicking off the season, hopefully.
Yeah, and I'll give you a word on June the 23rd today.
Yep.
I'll give you a word to use that I think I got this yesterday afternoon in talking with someone just about the business of how these games are going to unfold. And it's someone who spent their entire career in private business. And they said, you know, at times like these, and these are crisis management times. I mean, these are people who've had to, I mean, you think about a college campus, you had to empty that college campus, and now you're trying to bring people back to that college campus. And the term that I got yesterday is one that I'm going to stay with, and it really meant a lot to me, is flexibility. You know, you got to, you know, yesterday the word nimble was used, right? Remember we heard the word nimble being used by Mike Bray about, you know, the way Notre Dame and so forth has to handle this. Flexibility might be the best way to describe what we're getting ready to get into. And that means on Monday it might be one thing, and Wednesday it might be another. And I was reminded by it last night, and I hope folks have gone to the ACC men's basketball Twitter feed to see the tournament that was it, which debuted last night. Part one of a four-part series aired last night at the ACC men's basketball Twitter feed. And I got to tell you, it's really good. Scott McBurney and Josh Claff have done a marvelous job piecing together part one. You and I got a chance to look at all of it. And despite the fact they muddied the water with our mugs in there a little bit, might be an issue. But other than that, I think it goes behind the scenes pack and showing some very unique perspective on how the ACC tournament decision making was done. The commissioner, I thought, was incredibly insightful about the decision process. Paul Brazo there as well. A lot of the athletic directors and coaches offered some very interesting thoughts. And if you like ACC basketball and you kind of want to go through this process of this tournament, the tournament that was it, which aired last night, part one on Twitter and part two tonight, I would encourage you to stay tuned to this over the next three nights. It's very, very good.
Well, we just showed video of John Lucas and Mo Howard and NC State and Maryland going after it in 74. I said, Jerry, when I met John Lucas. Mm-hmm. As awesome as that game was, the tournament that we just experienced in March has never been experienced before.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get a chance to see truly everything that took place behind the scenes. And just an extraordinary time. We'll go down. That one will be 200 years from now. They'll look back and go, well, do you remember the 2020 ACC tournament? Because
yeah,
it was just one of those moments, as you point out, it was surreal. And that's the only way to describe it.
All right. Time for today's quarantine confessional. We take the cameras to South Florida, or Central Florida, rather, Orlando. And here's our friend Andrea Adelson.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Packer and Durham Quarantine Confessions. I'm Andrea Adelson, and boy, have I got a confession for you. It has nothing to do with being a homeschool teacher, teaching some Spanish along the way. I've rekindled my love for Barbie. That's right. Every day, I play Barbies.
Mommy!
Oh, hi! Are we ready for our play date?
Yeah.
Well, let's show everyone what we're talking about.
Okay.
Every day,
we
come downstairs and show... Let's show them what we do. In addition to playing Barbie, I've been working, too, calling coaches and athletic directors to try and figure out if we're actually going to get a football season. But the Barbie games have taken on huge importance in our house. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So I'm Coach Paulus right here.
With her assistant, Vanessa.
And we fielded this cheerleading team. Coach Paulus is teaching them some excellent moves. We just won sectionals.
Yeah.
And what else is happening in our game right now?
So JoJo keeps getting a bloody nose.
Mm.
And even worse, she just left the team. And now she's just competing against them at regionals.
Oh, lots of drama here in the Adelson home, but let me just say, reconnecting with family and spending more time with my kids has been what's most important during this pandemic. Hope you guys have been able to do the same, and we'll see you real soon on Packer and Durham.
All right, here's what I'm going to tell you real quick. We tie everybody together here. We bring in Eric McClain, send him down to Orlando. We blow out some walls. We make a bigger room for Barbie Land. We get Dallin Cuff to build another swing set for Barbie Land and the kids in the back. We tie in the entire ACC Network crew, all moving together, working as one. That's what this is all about.
Oh, no. No. No, I don't like that idea.
Why?
But I sent somebody in the talent office maybe wanting to talk to Andrea's daughter about her contract.
Good point. I tell you what, the fact that Andrea's working on a little Spanish, I was impressed with that.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.